This morning, we begin a process that will ultimately lead in the appointment of some additional elders to serve this congregation as shepherds. We have asked Roy to begin that process by just reminding us this morning of those qualifications that the Bible sets out for elders. At the conclusion of the service, you will find at the Welcome Center a form that we ask the congregation to fill out if they have some ideas about men that they think would be worthy of serving in that position. You'll see on the form that we ask you to sign it. And we ask you that you obtain the permission from that person you are nominating that he is willing to serve should he be appointed. But we want your help in this process. Those forms will be available at the conclusion of the service at the Welcome Center.
I want to welcome everyone. Glad to see you this morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day. We're looking forward to so many things today, and we've got great blessings already. The Lord is promising and opening up our lives to many, many other blessings. We have some family members who will be at our house in a little bit. You have some of you have guests, and you have them with you today. We're so glad that all of you are here, but if you're a guest, we hope you feel especially welcome today. This morning, as we think about elders, it is my opinion that it's the hardest job in the world. You may have a different opinion. You may look at it in a very different light. But this morning, I just want you to see what God says about an elder and what an elder needs to think about, what the congregation needs to think about with regard to elders. And I think if one does what he is supposed to do as an elder, hardest job in the world. When you start thinking about the responsibilities that are there, there are so many things. So I want to share with you, it will be somewhat quickly, but I would just mention to you the concepts that the Bible presents to us. First of all, if you are wondering what an elder is or what an elder should do, I hope it's because you have not been in many opportunities to study and think about what an elder is about. But the Bible gives us three words, and they're three different words about the same, we call it an office, but it's really a work. The word office in the New Testament refers to a work, not just a space. Somebody says, where is your office? Well, if I'm a minister, my office is all over town. I might have a room designated for me that I study in, that I meet people in, that I spend some time in. But the office is really the work that is to be done. We might have an elder's office or an elder's meeting room. Not what we're talking about. We're talking about what an elder actually does. Well, first of all, we look at this first word, elder. It generally, according to the Complete Word Study Dictionary, refers to a person that's older. Our present elders meet that qualification in great depth. So we can go there with that. But it's a person of what this definition calls ripe age. That is, it is proven fruitful in the way that which the person has lived. And they're not only of ripe age, but they're of experience. They have experience in life. They have experience with a family. They have experience in decision-making. They have experience in the work life of taking care of a family, making money to lead the family in an appropriate way. And they can, therefore, take part in public management of affairs. A second word is a bishop. This word throughout the religious world is misused a great deal. But in the New Testament, it means an overseer, someone who has the responsibility of looking over the congregation in terms of study, in terms of work, in terms of worship. They are going to oversee what the congregation does and what the congregation is about. That means on an individual level, they are an overseer for me, not because I'm a minister, but because I'm a member who worships here at this congregation am working with these elders. So it is me over which they are overseers, not just some entity out there that we call a church, but it's you and me. And then third, a word that is misused in the religious world generally is the concept of a pastor. And that word means a shepherd. We're used to hearing the word shepherd. But a shepherd has a great responsibility to oversee, to protect, to feed. Those are things that we do. Those are the three words that most clearly define what we call elders. It's a great, great responsibility. Here's some things that make this, in my judgment, the hardest job in the world. These are people who have to pay attention to themselves. Take heed to yourselves, Paul told the elders in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And so what they have to be aware of who they are and what they are in terms of character, in terms of person, in terms of work. They have to be involved in watching for themselves. But secondly, Paul says, do not only take heed to yourself. Don't just take care of yourself. You watch over the flock. You take heed to the flock of God. And there are reasons for that. There are going to be some real troubles that come into the lives of individual members of the kingdom of God. Elders have a responsibility to work with people and to help people and to guard people. And 1 Peter 5 and verse 3 says that they are to lead us by example. Do they have any authority? Absolutely. The Bible clearly teaches that elders have authority. But that does not exclude them from being an example. They are to live the kind of life before us that God is going to describe for an elder, as God is going to describe for any Christian. They're to watch out for trouble. Wolves are going to come in sheep's clothing. Looks good, sounds good sometimes, but elders have to be aware of that. And they are to be teachers. Here is what God says. Here is what God says about worship. Here is what God says about work that we're to be involved in. Here is what God says about teachers, about the tongue, about anything. They are to be teachers of God's word, therefore teachers of God's people and rulers of the flock. Their authority, obviously, is going to be in areas of judgment. An elder has no right to change God's plan for worship. An elder has no right to say, well, I don't think we need to bother people by encouraging them to be buried in water. Let's choose some other method of baptism. In circumstances where God has set the law, elders do not have authority. They have authority to rule over a congregation in areas of judgment that must be made for the church to function as it should. Wow, the qualifications of elders are tough. And that's what makes it the hardest job in the world as we begin to take a look at what God says. Here are some things that an elder must be. When God is giving us qualifications, the elder must be. First of all, if you take a look at Titus 1 and verse 6, and you can look at these other verses, a man. And the word there is the term for a male, a man. It's not a generic term where it could be a man or a woman. It is to be a man, must be a man. A bishop must be blameless. This person that's going to shepherd and feed and protect must himself be blameless. Now, does that mean that you could never follow any elder around, and if you ever see them make a mistake or sin in some way, can you now say, listen, not qualified to be an elder anymore because I saw you get angry, or I saw you do this, or I heard you say that? Do they not any longer serve as an elder? You see, blameless is one of those things that we can only be in a right relationship with God. When we start thinking blameless, you cannot have an elder that continues in any sinful act. they are going to make mistakes because the Bible says all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. So if you are looking at an elder, you have a close relationship with one, are you going to see them make mistakes? You will. But they must do what all Christians must do and continue to serve God in a great way. You cannot be blamed for something that is done continually over and over again and be an elder. Must be entrusted with that which belongs to another, a steward. God gives us all things. This is God's church. You can't take an elder, it's not Ron's church or Charlie's church or Larry's church or anybody else's church in this world. It is the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so they are stewards of the members of the body of Christ, as well as stewards of the gifts that are given to the Lord. And they must be faithful, and they must be trustworthy in that regard. And when you think about blameless, you can't have a charge that is sustained, one that just keeps on, free from accusations that can rightly be proven. Now, when we say that, remember, all men are going to make mistakes, including men who serve as elders. But what we're talking about here is something that they continue in and do not stop. And that can be shown, that can be proven. They cannot serve in that regard. Now, family qualifications. The Bible teaches us here in Titus chapter 1 and verse 6 and 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1 that this person must be the husband of one wife, going to be married, having faithful children who are not accused of dissipation and insubordination. They're not just wasting their lives out there, but children who are trying to serve God. Are they perfect? No, they are not. They're just like their father if he's serving as an elder, just like any other member of the Lord's church. But he must rule his own house well, 1 Timothy 3, verses 4 and 5 teaches. Things must be in good order in his house for him to be a ruler over the house of God. You would not want someone who could not rule his own house trying to rule the house of God. And so we have these family qualifications, and that includes other people. Those of us that might be children of people who are serving as elders, we have a responsibility ourselves to be thinking about the kind of lifestyle that we have. Now, I just took a minister named Mark Copeland. I saw some of his material, and I just took his qualifications and his way of looking at them. And he called these negative qualifications. And what he means is you just can't do these things. There are some things you cannot have in your life and be an elder. You cannot be self-willed and arrogant, only thinking about yourself and making decisions for the church that you want all the time instead of thinking about what is best for the group. You cannot be arrogant in that regard. You cannot be quick-tempered, not soon angry. Be slow to wrath, James says. And that's the qualification. Someone who gets upset and uptight and angry every time something doesn't go the way they want it to. Can you imagine 10 men discussing a topic and getting every one of them to agree on everything every time? Isn't going to happen very often. It will happen some, but it isn't going to happen often. They don't get their way all the time. Each one of them doesn't get their way all the time. And you can't be angry about that. You cannot be given to wine, not a brawler. You cannot be a person who is choosing to use wine to live life in a way that is not in harmony with God's will. Cannot be violent, can't be a fighter, can't be someone who wants to control by being a bully. Not a brawler, but one who is not violent. Can't be greedy. You've got to be thinking about using what you have, what people give. what people want to give, using lives in a very special way. And it cannot be for your own personal gain. Can't be quarrelsome and contentious. There are so many things that have to be discussed over which people could easily disagree. When you disagree, you cannot be contentious and quarrelsome and cause trouble in that regard and serve as an elder. You can't be covetous. That is a word that means that you want something so much, you would do something that would violate God's will in order to get it. Sometimes we want to say, well, covetous means I want something you have, I'm covetous. That's not necessarily true. If I want your car, I might want to offer you money for it. If you want to sell it, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I cannot do anything wrong to get it, but I must not be covetous, using some means other than what God would give me to get things. You cannot be covetous and be an elder. You can't be a novice, somebody that is brand new, a babe in Christ. You need time and experience and life to help you be who God needs you to be and what God needs you to be. So you can't do these things and be an elder. Well, God gives a number of things that you cannot live without. If you have an elder who is not given to hospitality, they don't ever want to have anybody around. They don't want to be with people. They're not the kind of people that make you feel like you can come into their home, make you feel like they can be with you and spend time with you. You cannot serve as an elder. You cannot be, you must be a lover of what is good. Hard to like good things sometimes. It's good for me to do certain things. Hard for me to do them sometimes. I know it's good, but it's hard for me. I know I ought to think in certain ways, but it's hard for me. An elder has to be a person who is a lover of good things. Must be sober-minded. That is, you must be sensible in the way you think about things. A good elder is not going to be an extremist on any issue that comes along, but it's going to be thoughtful and sober and work through that in a reasonable way. Must be just. That means fair. An elder must look at people, look at circumstances, and make judgments about the things over which they are overseers, over which they have responsibility for, and their decisions must be fair and just. They have to be holy. There's not an elder in this room, I don't think, that if I said, okay, all of you holy men who are elders, stand up. They wouldn't want to stand up because, you see, we shy away from the concept of holiness. But holiness is not about what I've done or what an elder has done. It's about what God has done. God cleanses us and sets us free from sin, and we choose to be different from the world in following God. That's what makes us holy, different from the world. And an elder must be holy. Must be self-controlled. We've talked about that a little bit already. Must be temperate in the way in which you view life, in which you view things. Hold fast. Hang on to the word of truth. That's hard to do sometimes. In our world, it just seems easier to turn loose of what God says than to do what God says. But if we're going to be faithful to God, no matter who thinks a different way, we hang on faithfully to God's word. They must be able to teach and encourage. The word exhort means encourage. They must be people who are able to convict by the word of God with regard to sin, with regard to righteousness, with regard to the judgment to come. That's what Paul was trying to convict his audience of. We have a specific case of that, and our elders must be able to do that. And they want to be temperate. And this word, it has the concept of vigilant. They cannot go to sleep. They cannot constantly take vacations from being an elder. It's a 24/7 job. And it is a job that requires great vigilance, and they need to be there. Their behavior needs to be orderly, needs to be respectful and respected by other people. They need to be gentle people, that is, patient with people, and not harsh and quick to condemn or quick to make decisions. They need to be thoughtful and patient, and they must be people that we think well of, but if we go out in the community and we find people that know them, they must be thought of in good ways there as well. Is it a hard job? Would you want to live up to those qualifications every day? You guys over here that are young men, I am hoping you are taking a look at these verses in your Bible on a regular basis. And I'm hoping you young guys, some of you are saying, that is what I want to do. That's what I want to be. I want to lead God's people. I want to live a life like we have seen flashed before us on the screen, if you will. That's what I plan to do. And I want to be an elder one day. Because an elder needs to desire that role. They need a desire for it because it is difficult. It is not easy. It is tough. And so we have these words from the Hebrew writer. Elders are deserving of honor and respect. We need to honor those men who serve as elders because they have a very difficult job. We need to respect them and lift them up. Are they perfect? They are not. Not one of them is perfect. But are they worthy of honor and respect because of the weight of the responsibility and the need for someone to take that responsibility? It is God's will that elders be in every church. That's what God wants. And we need to be thankful. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive to them. Why? Because they watch out for your soul. We need to be listening to these men who love us, who give a great portion of their lives for us in leading us. And they have to do it in view of the fact that they are going to give an account in a way that those of us who are not elders do not give an account. So it's tough from the responsibility standpoint. And then look at what God says to them in this passage. Our elders ought to serve and do what they do with joy and not grief. I am telling you, there are many things our elders face that are grievous, that are hurtful. They see families fall apart. They see individuals choose to rebel against God and not want a return. They see people who do not respect them and who do not care what they think. And when you look at the responsibilities that they have and the things that they do, and then God says, you do so. You serve with joy and not with grief. Let me tell you, that is a hard, hard job some days. That wouldn't help them, and it wouldn't help us. So as we think about our elders, as we think about potential elders, let's think about honor. Let's think about respect. Let's think about submission. But you know, that's what God requires of us to do as we think about our Father in heaven. And as we do, we want to extend the Lord's invitation. If there's anyone here who has not been honoring God by the way you live, not been respecting God, nor His will, nor His way, and you haven't submitted to that, what a great opportunity this is for you to turn your life toward the Lord with honor, with respect, with submission. If you need to return as a child of God, what a great day for that. If you need to be buried with Christ, what a wonderful day with that. That's our hope. That's our encouragement for you. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.